Welcome to the swing set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
In the podcasting world, ranking highly on iTunes can be the difference between some visitors and lots of visitors. So while this may sound like an NPR pledge drive, we're not asking for you to give us money. All we're asking is for you to go on over to iTunes, give us a star rating and a 1 to 2 sentence review. And if you're not listening to us on iTunes but have it, just subscribe to us. That helps whether you listen there or not. So that's all from me, Cooper. Enjoy the show.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no, when you select your one item at 50% off. You'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus a free extra gift so essential we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So go to adamandeve.com today for the special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type swing set for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use the offer code SWINGSET at adamandeve.com.
The landscape of swinging communication is vastly different today than it was a decade ago. Social media has made it possible for information and community to travel, combine, grow, and flourish in a world that has often been compartmentalized by state, city, and religion. Whereas most swingers hid behind their proverbial white rocks for many decades, more and more couples now are showing up with Facebook and Google profiles for their non-vanilla lives, and sites like Cassidy.com are trying to make us forget all about Adult Friend Finder and create a worldwide network and community that we can all share in. And tonight, that's what we're talking about. We're all connected on the swing set. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight, I have...
This is Shira B. Katz.
Hey, this is Dylan, now with a last name, Thomas.
He just discovered a last name. And with us tonight, we are very happy to have Emily from Cassidy.com. Hi, Emily.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing
welcome.
Woohoo!
Well, we're thrilled to have you on here. As we make no secret of on this show, Cassidy is our favorite adult friend website, and it has made us forget about the horrors of Adult Friend Finder.
You're already making me blush.
Ooh, if we can make you blush that easily, just wait till we actually get to the meat and potatoes.
See, flipping on the webcams. Okay.
They're pretty good at it. Be careful.
We do our best. So before we get started, though, I know for a fact that Shira B. Katz has some business for us. Go for it.
I do have business. And it's kind of like pre-business. Like this
goes before business on the show.
Well, it's like it's business that hasn't really happened to me yet, but it's happening to me, and I am I have to talk about it because it's crazy. Okay, so
wow.
I had a date on Friday night.
Okay.
Ooh.
And it was a really nice date. I got along with this person very well. They are highly educated. They have impressive degrees. They just took the MCAT and they want to be a doctor when they grow up. And they're fascinating, wonderful, like totally amazing. Like he's awesome, right? Okay. So we're having a conversation.
I was going to ask about the pronoun game.
I was going to ask.
I know. I don't know.
That's okay.
When he grows up. Anyhow, what I'm getting to is I'm sitting here, and one of the things that initially attracted me to about this person is they have these amazing tattoos. I won't go into specific, just really amazing tattoos. They're not gaudy. They're not overwhelming or anything. They're very tastefully done, and they're beautiful. I'm like, oh, hey, your tattoos are amazing. And he's like, oh, well, thank you very much. And he tells me a story about his tattoos. And then I notice, like, one of his ears look like it might have, or actually both of his ears, I think, look like they might have had gauges in them at one point. And I'm like, oh, did you have gauges? And he said, yeah, oh, yeah, you know, I'm kind of a, I've kind of been a body modification buff for a while. And I said, okay, cool. And I could have left it there, and I didn't, and I said, so body modification, what else are you interested in?
And for the record, I don't believe that you, Shirabi Katz, could have left it there.
It probably would have been a little bit difficult for me, but of course I asked the question, and he answered by saying, well, I have a sub-incision. Does anyone here know what that is?
I
only have very uneducated guesses, so tell us.
No.
Okay. So I will share with you guys. Now, let me remind you, very handsome, very normal-looking dude who wants to be a doctor when he grows up. And I said,
it is what I think it
what?
Is, isn't it? It is.
Probably precisely what you're thinking it is.
Oh, no.
And he proceeded to tell me that he has gotten a incision from the tip of his dick down the underside of his urethra about an inch and a half long. And so the end of his penis kind of opens up. Like, it blooms. So it's not through both sides. And I know you guys are all cringing over there. But it's not through both sides. But he has split the urethra down the middle. And so I looked at him and I said, all right. You know, I have a podcast about sex. And I have, like, 50 questions for you. And so we spent another 40, 45 minutes talking about his dick, and like they're out from the rest of the evening with peppered questions. And so I haven't seen it yet, but the date went really well. And I like, you know, there was kissing and cuddling. And so I'm totally like, my imagination's running wild, and I can't bring myself to Google this. Like, I can't. I'm terrified to Google the term penile sub-incision.
So I was totally wondering if you guys had, like, you know, girlfriends were always like, hey, let's go do a potty break. And so I was like, the first thing I'd be like, don't you have to go to the bathroom?
I'm so curious. And
okay, I've just Googled it, and it made me very unhappy.
Did it?
All right, let's see. I might as well do it too.
I'm not going to do it. I can't do it before. Like, if I don't end up sleeping with this person, then maybe. But I had to share, you guys, I might see a sub-incision, like, up close and personal.
So now, and, like, now are you going to share the podcast function? Where we talk about this with him? Because I feel like, you know, I'm trying very hard to retain.
I know, judgment.
Positive.
You guys are being
Cooper, positive, non-judgmental, pink-friendly, trying real hard, but it's not coming.
I'm just wondering what happens as he starts to get excited, and then what happens when he actually really explodes. And like, this is just crazy. I mean, I can't imagine. You probably didn't sleep for the past few nights.
I want to know what this does for him. Like, I mean, I know a lot of a lot of people that like body modification do it because it, you know, it's different and it's cool and it's something that they enjoy. I other than the actual act of getting that and being modified like that, what does that
so,
do?
Well, I asked him all these questions, and Cooper, I think maybe it'd be a good idea if, like, anything happens, maybe we could ask him directly, because he has a lot of interesting takes on body modification. But I keep wondering what that would do for me.
Again,
I know that's very selfish.
I find it really, really difficult to think that anything along those lines would wind up being a positive show for fans of Cooper.
Okay, maybe. I guess there's a lot of vanilla. But, I mean, we might have some kinky listeners. Someone might be interested.
No.
Listeners
would be fine.
If you're interested.
I think their opinions of me might go down.
Oh, God. Well, you know, one of the things that I told them, I said, I'm very happy that I met you after I went to Burning Man. Because I gotta say, I don't know how I would have felt or how I would have judged this situation a month ago. Because honestly, that's one of those things that might have given me like one of those, what's it called? Squick? There's a kink term for this. It's like squicking, I think.
I think that is what it's called.
Yeah, so it might have squicked me out a little bit. But, you know, at this point, I think I'm open-minded enough to be like, okay, well, this makes this person happy. He's a perfectly sane, logical, awesome person. I might be interested. And I swear to God, I'm very curious. I'm so intrigued.
And my question would be, is it partially to get all the alternative girls interested and very intrigued?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that
happens.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this would be I think like this might be a hurdle, but he said he's never had anyone react negatively, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm going to find out more and I'll report back. And if our listeners are interested, surely write in to make sure I'm not grossing you all out.
Wow.
So would you like me? I know I had to tell you guys.
I want to hear more.
I needed your reaction.
I want to hear more, but I don't think I would be very surprised if I reacted positively at all to any of it.
I've seen a lot from bmezine.com, and I don't think I've seen that one. Yeah, I definitely want to know.
I'm not going to look at it yet. If I have a chance to report back in, I definitely will.
Okay.
Well, even if you don't have a chance to report back in with him, I want to hear from you the moment you look at either his or anyone's. So if you Google it, I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Okay. I have a pretty good imagination about this right now, but I'm not. Okay. I'll let you know when I finally.
Okay. Yeah. Report back.
I also want to know every time you see a new cock. Reported. I want a written report. Single space.
Well, you know, I did just go to Folsom Street Fair, so I have a very long report to send to you.
Well, I think you need to file that report with the swing set, definitely.
Understood. Yeah. So now that I have started off our show in rare form for nice Emily from Cassidy, let us switch topics and talk about the growing industry of swinging.
I think I'm speechless at this point after that lovely story. But, you know, but it brings a great point, actually, that I want to start out talking about Cassidy and not just Cassidy, the lifestyle in general, is it's about being open-minded. There's so many variations of the types of people you're going to run into, sexual interests, things that they're into. And I think it's great that you kept an open mind about that in your date. And that's one thing I really love about this community is the overall amount of support. Just because, let's say that's not something you'd be interested in. sounds like you're kind of intrigued, but if you weren't, then, you know, either way, it's interesting to learn about. And eye-opening for sure. But that's what this community is all about. So that's one thing I did want to start out the conversation about is the multi-levels that we all encounter in this lifestyle.
And that's Emily's fancy way of saying Cooper should just get up and leave the table.
Oh no. It wouldn't be the same without you. Lovely deep voice.
No, I always feel bad when I get to that point with kinks because I want to be so open-minded. And then there are some where it's just like, okay, I have a real hard time supporting that. But I own that feeling. I own it.
Yeah. You know, if you're feeling that way, other people are going to. And you know what? I feel that way too. I may be a little bit more open, you know, initially than you might, but whatever. People feel that way. So just let it out.
Well, that's very cool.
Well, so Emily, talk to me a little bit about how you got started with Cassidy and what you do for Cassidy.
Okay. Well, I've actually been with Cassidy from the beginning when we started out as a magazine. We've been a social networking and dating site for about 3 years. And what happened is I had a good relationship with my business partner, Scott and Nicoletta Purcell. And they talked to me about overseeing marketing and club relations for Cassidy. So basically what I do is I work with any adult business that comes on board with us. So that could be a a lifestyle club, a party promoter, travel agency, photographer, etc., or a lovely podcast like yourself. and I work with them in getting them established on our website and teaching them all of the tools and functionality that we offer in promoting to our members and basically enhancing the website. At any given time, we have over 450 parties posted nationwide. And so swinging, as we all, well, maybe we don't all know, but for those of you who are new to this, there's also a social aspect to it aligned with the sexual side too. But we all like to get out there and meet people, like-minded individuals, and just have a good time and let our hair down. So having activities is a crucial part of Cassidy's growth.
Excellent. Now, I wanted to address something real quick because this is, you know, we are going to be talking about Cassidy a lot tonight. And I had a comment from a listener who asked us, you know, why don't we give equal time to other websites? And I wanted to address that a little bit. And I mean, number one, yes, we are affiliated with you guys. You know, we do have the magazine portion of the website, and that's awesome. But I wouldn't be affiliated with you if I didn't like what you were doing. And Cassidy is doing something that the other sites not only seem unable to do, but seem unwilling to do, which is expand beyond their regional boundaries. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of being able to communicate well with the swinging community that is a worldwide community is to be able to reach those other members regardless of what state they're in. If I'm going to California for a vacation, I don't want to have to sign up for another website to find out who's swinging in California. I want to be able to, you know, if Facebook was regional and you had the Chicago Facebook, the Los Angeles Facebook, it wouldn't be nearly as important. It wouldn't be nearly as valuable as a tool for people to interact and communicate. And that's why I feel that, you know, you don't need to make Cassidy your only website. But I think the more people we can get on Cassidy and the more people we can at least get it to explore it and start using it, we can find one community that will accommodate the entire world and be able to interact much easier. And it benefits everybody at that point.
And listen, it's not like we didn't, or it's not like we found this in a vacuum. I mean, we've been on several other sites and worked with, trying to be a part of the website and be, you know, and get in the big tent and meet lots and lots of people. So this has been kind of an iterative process of where we want to be.
Well, and let me point something out that we've really, at Club Relations, my position, we put a lot of emphasis into because, quite frankly, we have a site, right? And so another thing that I believe we understand is we may be on the web, but this is a people's business. So we get out and shake, you know, both our customers' hands all the way down to the members' hands. We go out and meet people face to face to show them how much passion that we have behind this lifestyle. The other point I want to make is that we're all in the lifestyle. So we have a passion about this community and seeing it succeed more than just a business aspect. And the most important element is we couldn't do it without people like you. Period.
Like us or our listeners.
Life on the swing set and your listeners. But the fact is your passion, you can take the whole approach of, let's talk about Facebook for a second, okay? Facebook is 6 degrees of separation. So it's basically a friend of a friend of a friend. The way that we actually grow as a website is because members or people like yourselves are telling people about us. That's the truth. That's the reality of it. That's how we grow as a business.
Plus, on a site like Facebook, because of that 6 degrees of separation relating to people, if I want to find out what's happening in a local area, it's tough to do that unless I'm already subscribed to or a fan of the local business or know people that already are a fan of or subscribe to the local business. I don't have a very high hit rate with finding things that I want to do via Facebook because it's usually private. It's usually something that's limited to just the certain groups that are there. So I could do a lot more with Facebook if it worked differently. I could do a lot more with, you know, Google Plus if it worked differently and, well, allowed, you know, non-real names there. So, but
bullshit, bullshit.
Right, right. So it's very nice to have, you know, a ready-made or at least a growing community to do this in, and to find events and find people and all that stuff.
It's the Kevin Bacon approach, but no. The thing is, everyone is using different tools now, like Facebook and Google Plus, and of course Cassidy.com. But the one thing that I always think about, and I use Cassidy as well. My profile is Emily Cassidy. But there's no way to control, or there's no certification process. So, you know, anyone can join that. And if you're putting pictures out there and you're putting, you know, comments that you just don't want others to see, and you want a level of discretion in your life, that's the one thing that concerns me about social networks that are not specific to our community.
Well, that's a really good point. There was a whole bunch of times where after a particularly explosive article, or when Swingtown went on the air, I know websites around the country noticed huge hits, where people would sign up for an account and just start perving pictures. And that caused a lot of people to freak out that, like, oh my God, our little secret hideaway has been breached by the masses looking to gawk and everything like that. And so I like that there are levels of sort of levels of admission. Like, you have to be at a certain level in order to do anything that could result in other people getting found out all on their own. And it's up to me whether or not I want to share that with you, you know?
Well, plus there's the reverse. If you start to like a certain amount of shows or topics or books or podcasts about, you know, some form of non-monogamy, then it's a clue to other people that it may be a problem. So it's hard for me to say on my, you know, real world profile that I like certain things just because I don't want everybody to know that. Or even with just pornography in general, you know, there are a lot of people that are fans of places that, because they don't want other people to know, they have to cut that off.
Well, and as we all know, the majority, there's a lot of misconceptions of what swinging is and the types of people that, you know, cater to this community. And a lot of the times you're talking doctors, you know, attorneys,
Teachers,
police officers. There's so many teachers and police officers. It's just crazy. Like, we could have a massive lifestyle convention that just catered to teachers and police officers. It would be like a huge hit, I swear. But there is a lot of discretion involved in this. And a lot of people could actually lose their jobs if they were discovered. And so, like I said, the nice thing is Cassidy's taken a lot of time to put features in that protect you, like our certification process. And what that is where you have to send in a photo, or you have to have a certified member certify that you're real, that they've actually met you in person. And you can't see anything until you actually have that status. So it's crucial.
And it's crowdsourced. I mean, people recommend each other, and yeah.
Right.
So I've got a question for you. If I didn't have a site to look this stuff up, I've always had a hard time finding swing clubs, or, you know, a night where a bar has a swingers only night, or a swinger focus night or something like that. So places and events generally like to stay hidden and underground. Assuming they don't come to you, which I don't know why they wouldn't, but, you know, if they don't come to you, how do you go about sniffing out, you know, clubs or get-togethers or events or things like that?
There's a lot of Yahoo groups. There's a lot of ads posted on Craigslist. Google is always a good resource. I've been able to even find clubs in specific areas by utilizing Google. And most times there's websites that they're public. So, you know, searching for a swing club in an area, you're going to pop up with all kinds of websites because most people have them. It's really, I don't find that it's too difficult to find that, but it's what process does that club have that you have to go through. Some clubs have you fill out applications and memberships and sending in photos, etc. And I think it's the same layer that we've developed, is that whole certification. Are you real, protecting their members, etc.
Can I ask a question, kind of a devil's advocate type question?
Sure.
Okay. So I understand that privacy is a fantastic feature that most of the people who use something like Cassidy really want. However, I always have this lingering feeling about the normalization of things like non-monogamy. Do you feel like if more responsible community members weren't so concerned about maybe being private, that maybe we can get something like swinging maybe normalized and wouldn't be so scary and people wouldn't have to fear losing their jobs? Do you ever have any thoughts in that direction?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know what you guys are going to think about this, but I've had thoughts even about what just happened with gay marriage and how crucial that is to even our community. I think that's a huge step. And I think we're really absolutely the next layer of that. And I find that once more people become vocal about who they are, I went through the process. I had to tell my family about my business and, first off, if you Google my name, because of what I do, I would be a fool not to tell them. But the reason that I did, as I said, I just want you to be ready whenever somebody does contact you about what your daughter does for a living, so that you're at least somewhat prepared and you can have some education behind this. And so what I did was I brought in a bunch of my friends and customers. I had my parents over. We had a Cajun night, my mother's Cajun, actually. And so we cooked a bunch of Cajun food. My mom got to meet some of the people that, because I oftentimes will stay at my client's house when I go out traveling. I mean, that's how close we are. It's amazing. And so she got to meet some of the people she'd heard about for all this time. And then what has really been just mind-blowing to me is watching my mother start to tell her friends what I do for a living and then meeting up with them and having conversations. And just, you can tell their perception once you explain it to them what this truly is, and you take away the misconception and throw in the educational piece, which is so much lacking right now out there, they get it. It's not so negative anymore.
That is so awesome.
It's like, I always explain it. This is not a fishbowl approach, you guys. We don't throw keys in a bowl. You know, you don't walk over piles of people. Maybe you do, but you know, that's at certain parties. I mean, there's just so much more to this. And I like to always use one story, and I'm sorry for rambling, but this story is important to me and when I'm telling people about swinging. Some of my best friends, they're Russian. And when they grew up in Russia, things were really strict to the point that my girlfriend couldn't even shave her legs because if she did, she was called a prostitute.
Whoa.
So, right. Isn't that like, wow. I mean, it must have been pretty hairy there. they moved to the U.S., had a child. Their child grew up, beautiful couple. They start going out. They find out about a swing club. So they start going out. She walks into the place and she's wearing, I wouldn't even call it like a freakishly crazy dress, but it was sexy. And she felt comfortable in this community because she wasn't judged. She wasn't called names. She wasn't called a prostitute. She felt empowered to be a sexy female. And beyond that, they haven't even done anything. So, you know, it's accommodating to more than just what we would classify as swapping.
That's really interesting to hear, Emily. I'd be interested to hear, maybe after a break, a little bit more about your demographic and what kind of people you have that register to Cassidy, because I had a very interesting experience when I went to register.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, we'll be right back on Life on the Swing Set, the podcast.
Hello, listeners. You know, a lot of sex toys come across our desks here at Life on the Swing Set. Some of them are good, but many are forgettable. Then there are the products from close to you. These toys are musically named because music is the language of passion. They rise to the top, superior instruments of pleasure that you can't wait to play with again and again. Close to Yu's entire line of toys are the cream of the crop. Their vibrators and anal beads are elegant, soft, and most wonderfully waterproof. Pick up Close to Yu's Legamento Clit Vibe today at EdenFantasies.com. Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have this super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Okay, welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we have Emily from Cassidy.com to talk to with us about online dating and clubs. So before we left, Dylan had a response here.
Yeah, I was kind of jumping up and down. And
he was. I thought he needed to urinate.
Well, you know, took care of that too during the break. But, you know, Shira, your question and Emily, your comments really hit home really hard because this is a fight that I want to have desperately. I haven't gone ahead and done that yet, but I've been dealing with, you know, religion / anti-religion stuff for a long time. I've been very pro-equal rights for the LGBT community. And very public about that, and I've had a lot of fairly high-profile fights about that. And I feel like I'm good at it, and that I want to do it. But like you mentioned, there can be some significant repercussions to coming out and being public and an activist. And it's like, I desperately want to, but, you know, more than half of my money comes directly from Catholic schools and churches right now. And it's something where if I did that, it would, it'd likely adversely affect my business. And so I keep struggling with wanting to be an activist and wanting to come out because I feel like we need to do that as a community. And it kills me every time I end up saying to myself, I can't do it. But every time I see somebody else doing it, I just cheerlead as much as possible and say, yes, please.
Well, one of the things along those lines, Dylan, is, I mean, what you do on Facebook right now is still broadening the acceptance and the knowledge and the awareness of the lifestyle. You know, just because you are not, let's say, out to your parents, doesn't negate all the people you are out to and all the relationships you have changed by being out to them, because you have put that question in people's minds. And whether they decide that yes, swinging is for us, or yes, non-monogamy for us, or even yes, monogamy is definitely the way we need to be, that doesn't matter. The act of asking the question is so important, because before Marilyn and I became swingers, we didn't know it was an option. We thought it was something people did in the 70s, because I saw the ice storm and there was a key party and Alice and Janney was there and I was excited by that. but I didn't really think that there was a real community of swingers, and I certainly didn't think that it was as massive as it is.
Hey, Cooper, where do you hide your fishbowl? Just joking.
we've been trying to figure out how to do a fun key party type thing, but at the same time, we acknowledge the ridiculousness of you would be paired up with whoever you key you pull out. Yeah. My thought was key party speed dating.
Oh, God.
Where you get to talk to the person whose keys you pull out for 10 minutes, and then the keys go back in the bowl.
That's funny.
So that's the closest I got. But yeah.
I guess I get that.
I didn't mean to derail there, but Cooper, I think
you just want to see my key party.
No, I thought it would be funny. You know, every once in a while I have a funny joke, and it just wasn't the right opportunity. But Dylan, I really agree with what Cooper was saying, and by any means, just because you're not out there pushing it at a level that it's going to affect your career doesn't mean that you can't be passionate and effective by changing people's lives within the community. And maybe that's empowering someone else to take those steps, because I'm with you. I think that's where the lifestyle needs to go. I don't understand why we don't, like, for instance, I went to this event in Denver recently called First Friday. It's a lesbian event. I'm telling you, there was about thousands of women in this room. And when I walked in, I felt, and there was a lot of trans as well, so lesbians and trans. And when I walked in the room, I felt like I was in a regular lifestyle party, because they were accepting, they were fun, we all had a good time, the energy was flowing, the vibe was flowing, no one cared. It didn't matter about who you are, what you are. It was about living in the moment and supporting each other. And so I would like to see the lifestyle go down that route. In fact, we are starting a national branding called By The Way. And it's BITHEWAY. And what it is it caters to bisexual females and bisexual males. So it's baby steps. Now, it's going to be an underground community because of the stigma, of course, and of people being afraid of you know, what happens if. So we will be protecting people in that community. But it's a really good start. And I believe that this will be successful. And then you bring in the next layer, and then you bring in the next layer. There was this viral video, and I wish I knew the name of it, but hopefully you guys have seen it. There's this guy, and he's at a concert, and he's dancing like a total monkey goofball, and he's by himself, and everyone's laughing at this guy. And then all of a sudden, a few more goofballs start jumping in and dancing all free. And before you know it, the whole freaking concert is behind him dancing. And so it takes that one person to step out and put themselves out there. But it doesn't necessarily have to be you, Dylan, where you're going to risk your entire career, but you can be one of those people to support such a crucial role.
Yes, and I never mean to insinuate that that there's anything negative about the privacy issue. I just always wonder, like, people say they're worried about their job, they're worried about this. I don't know, maybe I'm not looking close enough. I just never hear that in the news. I never hear about it happening. But maybe that's because websites like Cassidy are doing such an awesome job at protecting people.
Well, you're also in a relatively open area of the country, and I'm not that.
But
I
have the interwebs, dude.
He's calling you out of your San Francisco bubble.
I have the interwebs.
People are different in San Francisco, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I get what you're saying, and I didn't take it as a negative. It's just I have a lot of longing for that, and yeah. So. Oh, I have angst, and I have the. See, my form of activism is generally the more explosive type, where I kind of go in and set off an atomic bomb, and then I go and pick up the pieces and put things back together. And that's my style, and that's always been my style. And it's like, in this one case, I have to play in a more restrained way to do it because of my own situation. And I can't do what I like to do, you know?
But what you're doing right, even right now in this podcast, you know, there's people listening to that and they're like, wow, that's inspiring me. So it could be a bomb effect more than you think. You're bombing my world, baby.
I believe Dylan's getting the vapors.
Our Southern Belle, yes.
I was just thinking more people know that we're non-monogamous than know that my wife is bi. And I totally didn't think about that. And it's because she's not really a member of a bi-focused community because she figured it out along with swinging. And mm-hmm. so her expression of being bi has always been with the lens of, you know, non-monogamy as opposed to being part of the LGBT community. And so...
Well, really, you know, I forgot who I was talking to, but if you're in a relationship and you're bi, the only way it can mean anything really is if you're non-monogamous. Because
if you're in a relationship with the same sex.
No, but I mean but at that point, you're with that half, you know?
Yeah, I guess I see what you mean.
So your correlation with the By the Way group has me thinking about your demographic at Cassidy. Do you find that, I mean, are you guys are very swinger focused at Cassidy? Is that what it is?
But then my question to you would be, what is a swinger?
Right.
Been very fluid lately.
I have a really good answer for that. What I think a swinger is, it's not an action, rather it's an attitude, and you take that and you can morph it into whatever you want it to be. So it would be hard for me to give you a broad range because there's so much of everything on our site. We have swingers, bis, try it all. You know, I mean, we have an abundance of everything. And then you're dealing with, on top of it, you know, chemistry and everything else that comes into play. So, I swinger, to me, that word, I struggle with that word a lot. I really do. I think it's necessary for maybe branding or SEO type of stuff. But as far as labeling, I think it needs more education.
Yeah. And the reason why I ask, maybe you can tell me more about the attitude or maybe the feel of the community that you have, because I have a funny story about Cassidy. I was really, I have chosen to label myself as a polyamorous person. I understand that there's shades of gray in there somewhere.
She acknowledged the shades of gray. This is a banner day. A banner day.
She had more sex than I did at Burning Man.
Clap.
Oh, yes. But I did not have the most sex at Burning Man. I can say that much.
No, you might have. You just didn't have the loudest.
Oh, no, I promise. Having heard the other sex happening, I did not have the most. Anyways, that was a tangent. What I was going to say is I realized that I identify as a polyamorous person, and your website intimidated me a lot initially as going in, which is odd because I have a lot of friends within the boundaries of those walls. Like, once you get past the login point, like, I have all my co-hosts here on Swingset. They're all members of Cassidy, and there's a lot of other podcasters out there, and I know some people who are members of Cassidy and really happy. I found the big, beautiful bottom on the front page of your website incredibly intimidating. So what kind of crowd, what kind of attitude is kind of garnered in the Cassidy community?
Well, when I say that swinging is an attitude and then it's not about an action, what I mean by that is it's the attitude that you bring. But what I find is that it's someone who's very comfortable with themselves and their sexuality. In their juicy bottoms. No, they're just comfortable in their sexuality and whatever that is, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, let's take away Cassidy in general. I think that it could just be intimidating in general to get involved into this community, because there's so many unknowns and there's the misconceptions and the educational piece that's not really there. So, I mean, I remember, and knowing where I'm at today, I remember our first swinger party and it was hilarious. I mean, when someone would walk up to us, we'd be like, oh my God, they said hello. They want to have sex with us.
Well, duh.
But I know, but it was just like, it was hitting you all. I mean, sensory overload. And then it took somebody pulling us aside and saying, look, this is what it's really all about. Those people are probably coming up to actually have a decent conversation with you and get to know you and then see where it goes from there. So I don't know if I'm really answering your question, Shira, but I think
you are. You are. It's
Shira struggles with swinger expectations.
Oh gosh, that's a whole different show. It's just expectations in general. Because I would like our listeners to explore it, and I'd be interested to hear if there are other polyamorous people on Cassidy.
Yeah.
I mean, surely they're out there.
Or what kind of experiences they have.
And yeah, I think there's a lot of crossover in the community. I mean, just like there's crossover in BDSM on Cassidy, but you know, you can look at those things as a two separate lifestyles, but they're really not. And I guess that's what we were just talking about is why do we have to put ourselves in these boxes? We are not box people. We're not, you know, we break through and take Dylan's bomb approach and, you know, get past all of that, because we should all be in one place. And I do believe Cassidy is that. I just think people don't know it because it's not out there.
Well, that's one of the reasons we are trying to put forth this idea. You know, the LGBT community has that wonderful acronym that represents their community. And we have sort of multiple communities that kind of think negatively sometimes about each other. And we're trying to push forward the idea of the SOP community, which is the swinging open and poly community, because we are all points on a continuum, but we are all points on that same continuum.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you were talking about education. There's an education, or there's a lack of education, even between the different parts of what would be, you know, our Big Ten community. I've been struggling with identification for a while, too. I know even one of the first podcasts that we put out, I had mentioned that I was struggling a bit with the term swinger. And I find that I keep migrating a little bit closer to polyamory, but not far enough away from swinging to say that I'm not a swinger. But at the same time, it's like I feel like when I have to box myself and say swinger, it's cutting off other things that I'd like to do. Or if I box myself off and said polyamorous, it's cutting off all the things I love about swinging. It's like I want to be open to having a real meaningful relationship with someone else. And at the same time, let's say that I went that route, it doesn't mean that I want to cut off being able to meet new people, become friends, and have sex, or even have casual sex at a club if that happens to be our fancy. I don't like the boxes, and I would love to be able to call all non-monogamy one big community and say, right, we all know what we do, we all have our different focuses, but then say we're all part of one Big Ten and work toward, you know, whether it's better acceptance in the future, whether it's working together on something now, whatever it is, I would really love to say that and love to push toward that.
You know what I think would be amazing is to have a big national push of events that were to take place where all sexual walks of life would attend these events and really push the marketing efforts. I think that would open up so much just to get people in front of each other and having conversations. That would remove a lot of the stigmas.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, just like I was telling you guys with my parents, you know, we're talking about my mother who's Cajun and Catholic, you know, you can imagine what she's thinking when I'm telling her. I think it's about getting people in front of each other and seeing that, you know what, everybody's amazing. I might not want to sexually engage with that person because that's not my interest. But it doesn't mean that I can't be in front of them, become friends with them, and be supportive of whatever they choose. And stop the judgment. The judgment to me is so unattractive. It really is so unattractive. And I don't understand how people in this community can expect to be accepted.
Yeah.
Yet they are judgmental towards others. I just, that to me is, it's not cool.
I think that goes for everyone.
Not cool, man.
The LGBT community has their share of that as well, for
yeah,
sure.
Poor bisexuals.
I think everybody does.
The bis and the lesbians, geez.
I think we all have a little element of that, you know, that whole judgment. It's like, I don't know.
Maybe what you were just saying gave me an idea. Maybe we, you know, they had the, or at least in my high school, they had the straight gay alliance. Maybe we need like a monogamous, non-monogamous alliance out there. We need some sponsors out there in the real world.
There's a good analog
to usher us in.
I've called myself allied for a long time and been fairly public with events and with defending, you know, things that are happening. A lot of my friends accept me for who I am and feel like we're normal people and we don't want to go out and just fuck like bunnies everywhere, which is one of the biggest.
Oh, come on.
Swingers.
Come on.
Hey.
You don't want to go out and fuck like
hey,
bunnies.
Well, let me be clear on something. Everyone wants to go out and fuck like bunnies.
Precisely, Cooper.
Whether or not they can.
I want to go out and fuck like
bunnies. I don't want to fuck like bunnies with everyone.
No.
Well, some people take it a step further and actually wear their little bunny suits.
They literally want to fuck like bunnies.
I love my furries.
Oh, you're going to get Dylan squealing.
He has a whole community.
Shake that bunny tail.
That's so fur fantastic.
Wow. That's
so awesome. So is that how it works? You just put fur in front of everything?
Or
like Smurfs?
I actually have a really funny story to tell you guys. And this is going to be totally off subject, but it's hilarious.
We tend to do that.
Oh, yeah. So we're hanging out with friends of ours who've been in the lifestyle for, you know, maybe a few years, but they're pretty active and, you know, they like to spread their wings in many different areas. But anyway, we're having a discussion about, is there anything that you guys haven't done that you still fantasize about? Anything you haven't fulfilled? So they're talking about it. You know, I don't really know. And like, well, what about you guys? Well, if you haven't had, I think you've Cooper met Sergio, but I don't know, Dylan, if you had the opportunity to meet my husband. He's quite the jokester. And so once you know him for a while, you're like, all right, don't take him seriously. But I don't know. They've known him forever and they still totally took him seriously. So he goes, you know, I love pandas. He's like, I've always wanted to dress up in a panda suit. I think that'd be so sexy. And I look back, their eyes are huge. Huge. They really think he's serious about this panda suit. And so he has this whole, like, I've got to get him a panda suit for Halloween one of these years.
Absolutely.
I'm afraid of what's going to happen to him tonight.
When pandas
Let's call
are
him
perfect
Ling Ling.
Because pandas are the only animal that actually looks like there's a person inside that suit.
I know.
We do love our furries, though. So I wonder if there are swinger furries out there. Oh, anyhow, yeah. Sorry, please continue.
I'm sure there are swinger
You're back
furries.
Entering a search term right now.
I bet that's what the conventions are all about.
I have a hard time believing that furries are monogamous.
Yeah.
I actually have a really hard time believing that, too. You were mentioning that that's what conventions are for. A lot of fandom conventions where there are
there are a lot of furries at comic conventions and sci-fi conventions.
Yes, totally.
It's an offshoot. You get the cosplay people that kind of leads right into furry.
And I think that, I mean, this all goes back to, like, what do any of these labels mean? I mean, I know there's a huge non-monogamy kink crossover in general.
Well, I think a lot of it comes with when you are already expanding your idea of sexuality, it's really hard to then define it as these are the restrictions I'm placing on that sexuality. The more you pull back the curtain and experience, I think that's why there is such a crossover between kink and non-monogamy, is because it's hard to be you know, very traditionalist when you're very kinky.
It's very true.
Well, I have a challenge for all of your listeners. And this is something that I did in my basic world, and that was to walk up to people that I normally wouldn't approach and tell, give them a personal compliment. Not something about their clothing, because that's easy, but something personal. I urge everybody to walk up to someone that's outside of maybe your comfort level and just go and shake their hand and have an interesting conversation with them. I think that that's something we should always do, is challenge ourselves to be more open-minded.
I love, love, love that suggestion. In fact,
I do too.
Cooper told me that was something that he did in his everyday life, and that gave him a lot of confidence in, you know, interacting in the swinging lifestyle. And as a result of that, I have been urging my my husband to do the same, because he's a little bit shy, and I think it would do wonders for him. I have to check in on him, see how he's doing.
Well, the best part about that, you know, I would like give, you know, when I'm done at the bank teller, if the bank teller was especially pretty, I'd write a little note and send it back through the pneumatic tube. And I drive.
That's so
I drive away before she looked at it, so it was obvious I was not looking to get anything out of it. And that, for me, was a liberating thing, because I wasn't looking to get anything out of it. And so when you're not looking to get anything out of it other than just the act of what you're doing, it takes away the pressure that comes with any time you're actually interested in seeing where something goes. Because if you want to see where it goes, you have expectations of where it might go.
Ah, I love that. I love the compliment that I don't have to respond to. That's pretty great.
Now, if somebody did that to you, knowing how you take compliments,
oh my gosh,
would that put you into a complex for the rest of the day? Or would you actually take that compliment because there's nothing behind it?
I think because I wouldn't have to respond whatsoever, and because it was there and then disappeared, I think I might take it a little bit better. I don't know. I'm still working on that. Don't listen to the crazy Shira. Just, yes, please move on.
There it comes. There it is.
Well, the way I started doing this was, I was at a grocery store and I saw this older lady just staring at me. And it was to the point where I was like, okay, do I have something on me? You know, it was like a little awkward. But I started seeing her throughout the store. And, you know, to make a long story short, she eventually approached me and said, in my next life, I want to be you because you're beautiful.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, the way it made me feel, she didn't have to do that. It was very genuine. And the way it made me feel, I was like, I want to make other people feel that way. And it extends in this lifestyle, because, you know, there's always people just sitting out, you know, in the corners by themselves. And they're probably new to this. They have no idea what they're doing. They're scared. And just to walk up and say, hi, I'm Emily. Like, wow. It makes you feel so good, and give them a personal compliment. And then my last story in my rambling night of this podcast, but you know, they're never going to have me back.
We like people
we
who tell stories.
We love you. We miss our ginger, but you're doing a very good job at filling it.
When I first started with Cassidy, we were, you know, launched in the Denver market, and I was at a club, and there was this girl standing in the corner with her boyfriend, and I had a membership trial that I was going to go and hand her. And I walked up to her and I handed her the card and I said, you know, you are absolutely beautiful. And it wasn't a sales pitch just to get someone on the side. I was truly being honest. She was so beautiful. I said, you just have a great smile. And she looked at me and she goes, you think I'm beautiful? And I was stunned. I'm like, what, do you have one of those funny mirrors in your house? I mean, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking it. I'm like, girlfriend, you are clueless. But we walk away, and my husband goes, did you realize she was missing an arm?
Oh, wow.
I had no idea. I didn't even see it. I didn't even notice that she was missing an arm. I mean, it was like seriously one of the most powerful moments of my life.
Wow. I want to follow up on the compliments and the beauty and all that with, I was talking to a friend of mine who is very new in the lifestyle, and her concern is she looks at the pictures online and she looks at the girls at the club she goes to and she sees these beautiful girly girls who dress up and do their makeup and do their hair and do and look the part, essentially. And her concern is she doesn't feel like she looks the part. She's a jeans and t-shirt girl. And my comment was that it's just like regular life. The swinging lifestyle is a microcosm of regular life. Everything that we have in the real world, quote unquote, also exists in the swing world. So she may not have found the people who, quote, look like her yet.
Oh, you're so right. And I also think that there's, I hear this occasionally, that the swingers world is cliquish. Mm-hmm. And what I think happens too, Cooper, is that, think about it. You go, you meet people, you go to a place, you see your friends, you start socializing, you become comfortable with it. And if you're not in a position like yourself, like me, or clubs or promoters, that you're looking out to introduce yourself to people, do they really do that? And is it intentional? I don't think they're trying to leave anyone out or that it's necessarily cliquish. Mm. I think that people just get set in their ways and they start chit-chatting with their friends that they feel comfortable with.
And beyond that, because it is a perfect microcosm, of course, the whatever is media-friendly in our world is probably going to be the same things that are media-friendly in the swinging world, so you're probably only getting pictures of the very, 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 very conventionally beautiful women.
Right. I just noticed I was doing something. You guys would be laughing so hard if you could see me. I'm actually like moving my hand like I'm talking to you and nodding my head and everything. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, we do that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do.
We may as well be video podcasting.
Yeah. Too bad I'm not expensive. Otherwise, I could have Sergio tie me up. But no one works. Just stay still, woman.
So what would you advise to somebody who is trying to get to a comfort level in this lifestyle like that?
My recommendation would be to go to a local club. Oftentimes they have host couples that will take you around and introduce you to a bunch of people in the lifestyle. It's a really great way to break in and a way to get your feet wet and get comfortable.
And that was the case, actually, at our first club experience, which was at the club that we met you at, Clebbles Playhouse. We were introduced to a few people that she felt we would connect with. So right off the bat, we had peeps. You know, we walked in, and we had people to talk to without being the ones sitting in the corner waiting for some opportunity that I think we're about on that level. We could probably go talk to them.
Hey, no, I'm very public about liking posses. I like to bring a posse.
Yeah, so. It's great. If you travel with your own posse, then even if you don't find anyone else, you're surrounded by your backup friends.
I'm just going to keep pretending you guys are saying pussy. It's way funnier that way. Please continue.
Well, we do like pussy, you know,
we
also.
We do bring our own pussy. especially Cooper, because he's got his girlfriend.
We try to bring even extra pussy. And one of the things I like to make sure everybody knows is I have never seen a community with more variety than the swinging lifestyle. You know, a lot of my self-conscious issues stem from high school, where cliques tend to be people who look and act like each other. And the swinging lifestyle doesn't really have that. It has every wide variety, every range of body type, every age. You know, I've seen 20s all the way up to 75 in the lifestyle. And you know what? They're all having a good time. And, you know, big, small, old, young, every single thing, every kink in between. And what's great is they all seem to be enjoying themselves. And you don't see that everywhere. And I think that's part of the openness of it is when you're open for sexuality, when you're open and comfortable with yourself, it's very easy to then be open with everybody else around you and very easy to then move into conversation, if not anything else. And once you move into conversation, then you find, well, this, you know, this person's a lot like me. And Jesus, I never would have said anything.
Oh, I can't agree more. And what I recommend for members that are new into this community, or even that have been in the community for a while, is stepping outside of your box a little bit, walking up to a new group or person, and just start having a conversation. This lifestyle is, yes, we're all here for one obvious reason, and that could vary depending on who you are. But there's a huge social aspect of this community, and you might find that this person might be interesting, and you might want to take it further sexually, or this might just be someone that you're going to be friends with for a really long time. So it's always good to step out and see what you can find.
Now, do you find with because swinging is often a regional thing, and the regions have developed their own style, do you find that there is a big difference between the clubs in Ohio compared to the clubs in California, or is it just varying degrees of the same thing?
I would say I don't know that there's really a huge difference in the clubs. It maybe in the way that they decorate, but I find that it's very individual based on the host of the party or the owner of the club. And I find that there's the same levels. You have meet and greets, you have, you know, parties, on-premise parties, off-premise parties. And for everyone listening, if you don't know, on-premise means that you can play on-premise. Off is more of just a social environment. There's things like that pretty much in every state going on. And I really don't think that it varies so much on a regional basis as to what you're going to find.
So we're going to wrap it up here. I want to just thank you so much, Emily, for joining us here tonight.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I really enjoyed myself and appreciate the opportunity to speak about the lifestyle, Cassidy.com, and of course with you guys as being experts. We really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, it was awesome to have you here, Emily. And as a bonus for our listeners, we've upped our free trial of Cassidy from 30 days to 60 days. If you sign up through the link on our website, or if you go to Cassidy, just make sure you put your referral link as Life on the Swing Set, all one word, and you'll be added to our community where you get updates and you can interact with other Life on the Swing Set fans, and you can explore the site for what it is for 60 days without the restrictions. And you really see what we see. And you know what? If there aren't a lot of people in your area, that's a perfect opportunity to get them to come to our website and sign up also, so there starts to be a lot of people in your area, because that's how we build the little bits of the community in these smaller areas. Right now, there's not a huge number of people in Chicago, but it's building significantly and has been since we started talking about Cassidy. So it's something that I think is really important for us as a community to develop a central location where we can all interact. And I'm backing the Cassidy horse on that one. And I'm going to try to get us out of here before we have to hear any more about the split dick.
All the way from the incision.
Oh, guys. It's called a sub-incision.
Oh, guys. You say that
I said, come on. I didn't say, I'm still wrapping my head around it.
You say that as though if you heard about a girl splitting her clit, you wouldn't freak out a little bit.
If someone was doing it to her, I would have a problem. But if it was something that she opted into, I would be.
You would freak out a little bit. You can be open-minded and supportive.
No, look, guys, I'm still trying to figure it out, but I'm letting.
See, it does squick you a little bit.
Well, yes, but I don't know.
You can admit to it. It's okay.
That doesn't make us less sex positive.
I'm curious more from a selfish perspective at this point. I'm like, well, what would that feel like if it was spread out like that? How would it interact with the cervix? And
that stick things in their urethra for pleasure.
Yes.
And so I wonder if there are a whole different set of.
He started off that way. He started off just being into sounding, and then kind of went from there. So now his urethra is exposed, and this, yeah. Anyhow.
Interesting.
Yes.
It's like a soaker hose, really.
A soaker hose. I'm not... I'll let you know. Cool.
if it's like a soaker hose, you'll let me know. Okay, and while Shira explores further on that... you, our listeners, can contact us in a whole bunch of different ways. And maybe you know what? Maybe you have one of these and you want to say, Cooper, you self-indulgent and closed-minded piece of shit. I have one and it's awesome. And here's pictures. And then I can also be strict about it. But you can communicate with us in a number of different ways. Number one is you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. We are all on Twitter. Twitter, for me is Swingset Life. We have Ginger N the Prof, Shira B Katz, Dylan _Swingset. And now we have Marilyn Beckett and what is Tonya's Twitter, Dylan?
Tonya_Swingset.
Tonya_Swingset. And Emily, are you on Twitter?
So, yeah, I am actually on Twitter. And we do have a Cassidy account. It's just @Cassidy. But I'm far more active on Facebook. So look me up under Emily Cassidy, KASIDIE.
Emily Cassidy. And she is my friend on Facebook. And I was very excited when she became my friend. And so you can also email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. Give us a call at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464 to leave a voicemail or send us a text. You can send us questions. You can send us comments. If you send us a voicemail, we'd be more than happy to play your thoughtful voicemail on an upcoming show. You see how I quantified that? Qualified it, not quantified it. So, thank you all for being here. Thank you, Shira, Dylan, and thank you very much, Emily, for joining us tonight. It's been our pleasure. And thank you all for swinging by.